Duke Ellington once said, "If I'm the Duke, then she's the Queen." He was referring to Peggy Lee, who was one of the finest singers to come up through the big bands. She had a subtle, restrained style that made it easy to overlook just how good she was. But make no mistake, Peggy Lee was one of the best. I'm Carl Gerke, and this is Big Band Spotlight. This week on the program, we're remembering Miss Peggy Lee.
Honey child, jump for joy. Don't you grieve, little Eve. All the hounds, I do believe, have been killed. Ain't you thrilled? Jump for joy. Have you seen pastures groovy? Green pastures was just a Technicolor movie. When you stomp up to heaven and you meet old St. Pete, tell that boy to jump for joy. Step right in, give Pete some skin and jump for joy. Technicolor movie. When you stomp up to heaven and you meet old St. Pete, tell that boy to jump for joy. Step right in, give Pete some skin and jump for joy.
Peggy Lee recorded with the Nelson Riddle Orchestra in 1958, their version of Duke Ellington's Jump for Joy. This is Big Band Spotlight. Hello, I'm Carl Gerke. Today on the program, we're beginning a week-long series paying tribute to one of the all-time great singers who came up during the big band era, Miss Peggy Lee. She had a nearly 60-year career, and over the next five evenings, we'll remember Peggy Lee with some of the big band recordings that she made. She was born Norma Dolores Eggstrom on May 26, 1920, in Jamestown, North Dakota. She had a tough childhood. Her mother died at the age of four, and her father remarried to a woman who was the stereotypical mean, evil stepmother. Peggy Lee suffered quite a bit of abuse growing up. And she found that music was a consolation, and she was singing all the time. She sang in school. She heard music on the radio, including Count Basie down in Kansas City, hearing those Kansas City broadcasts up in North Dakota. She started singing in local radio stations in her teens, eventually going to the big station in Fargo, WDAY, and it was there that the station manager changed her name to Peggy Lee. After some time there in Fargo, she went to California for a few months, then was back in North Dakota. Eventually, her career took her to Minneapolis, and then Chicago. It was the summer of 1941. She was singing at the Ambassador West Hotel. Also in Chicago in August was Benny Goodman. And Goodman was looking for a new singer. His singer, Helen Forrest, had just turned in her notice. She couldn't take it with Goodman anymore. And Forrest told Goodman, "You've got to find a new singer and find her fast." And fortunately for all concerned, he found a singer there in Chicago. It was Peggy Lee. Only a few days later, Peggy Lee went in the studio with the Goodman Band to make her first record. August 15th, 1941 was the date, and it was a tough recording debut for Peggy Lee. According to pianist and arranger Mel Powell, Peggy Lee was so scared that her hands were shaking, and the music she was holding began making a sound somewhat like a distant forest fire. It didn't help either that Goodman's producer, John Hammond, was insisting to Benny Goodman that Peggy Lee can't sing as they went through take after take, insisting that she just can't sing, she just can't sing. Eventually, Benny Goodman became so angry that he threw a chair at John Hammond. The recording session went on, and Peggy Lee finished her first record. Eddie Sauter's arrangement of Duke Ellington's I Got It Bad and That Ain't Good, Peggy Lee with the Benny Goodman Orchestra, October 2nd, 1941. And before that, her recording debut from August 15th, 1941, Elmer's Tune. The first few months with Goodman were very difficult for Peggy Lee. She said later that she was so scared that she developed a psychosomatic cold and was afraid that when she was on stage, someone was going to grab her ankles and pull her down. It didn't help either that Goodman was a rather preoccupied and distant person, didn't give her the support that she needed, and she also had to sing arrangements that were written in her predecessor Helen Forrest's keys. But fortunately, she found the support and help that she needed in the band's young pianist and arranger Mel Powell. Powell was a year younger than Peggy Lee, but he was already much more of a veteran in the music business than she was. He coached her in the music, and he would silently count off the beats until she was supposed to start singing. Listening to these early recordings by Peggy Lee, it's hard to hear what she was to develop into. She sounds pretty much just like your standard run-of-the-mill girl vocalist. But every now and then, you would catch a glimpse, a glimmer of what she was to develop into. She hadn't quite got her style yet, but every now and then something would happen. Here's an example. This is a recording from October of 1941 of the Cole Porter tune, Let's Do It, Let's Fall in Love. And if you'll excuse the opening racial epithets that begin the tune, you can hear a coy sensuality, a subtle approach to lyrics. Just the way that she says, let's do it, reveals so much.
That's why the Chinks do it, Japs do it, up in Lapland little Laps do it. Well, let's do it, let's fall in love. In Spain, the best upper sets do it. They're the Winnians, and let's do it. Well, let's do it. Let's fall in love. Electric eels, I might add, do it. Though it shocks them, I know. Why ask if Chads do it? Way to bring me Shad Row. Some Argentines without means do it. People say in Boston even beans do it. Well, let's do it. Let's fall in love. Thank you. somebody nobody loves. I wonder why. Although I know it sounds alarming, I've prayed on bended knee for that Susan Gay, Prince Charming, who was meant for me. I've got to find me a somebody soon, or else I'll die. I'd take the man in the moon if he'd give me a try. I'm just a lonely Cinderella, that romance passes by. I'm somebody nobody loves, oh me, oh my.
Peggy Lee sounding relaxed in that recording of Somebody Nobody Loves from November 13th, 1941, sounding quite a bit different than she did just a few months earlier during her tough recording debut. And before that, probably the first significant Peggy Lee recording, Let's Do It, Let's Fall in Love, the Goodman Band recorded October 21, 1941. This is Big Band Spotlight. I'm Carl Gerke. Today on the program, Peggy Lee and the Benny Goodman Orchestra, as we spend a week paying tribute to the great jazz singer Peggy Lee, who died at the age of 81 this past January. Here's an arrangement by her friend and confidant Mel Powell, also from November 13th, 1941. Another good performance from the young Peggy Lee as she's starting to find her way in the world of Goodman. How long has this been going on?
I know how Columbus fell. like you always do. Till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. And won't you please say hello to the folks that I know. Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
We'll meet again. Piggy Lee with the Benny Goodman Orchestra from March of 1942. And before that, from November of 41. How long has this been going on? The Gershwin song. Both of those arrangements by Mel Powell. Coming up tomorrow on Big Band Spotlight, as we continue our tribute to Peggy Lee, we'll hear the record that turned Peggy Lee from just another band singer into a major singing star. That's coming up next time on Big Band Spotlight. Big Band Spotlight is produced for South Dakota Public Radio at the WCAL-FM studios, St. Olaf College, Northfield, Minnesota. I'm Carl Gerke.
But their attempts at love were only imitations of my old way. I can't even think of his name, but I'll never be the same until I discover what became.